Well, John is indeed with us now here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And John, it looks like you've come quite a way since that first win at Centennial Park back in, what, 1980?
Yeah, 1980, April 7th, Centennial Park in Littleton, Colorado. Absolutely. A Nevis Hope.
Remember it like it was yesterday.
I do. I do. I certainly do.
Could you imagine at that point you'd be sitting here a winner of 4,000 career races?
Actually, at that point, I thought if I could ride to be a ripe old guy at 35 or 40, I would have a successful career. Here I am at 56, still going strong.
Well, now you're looking at Perry Ute's territory, right? He's 62. Are you going to go another 6 years?
It's really interesting you bring him up. I sat over there with him by his locker in between races, and we had a great conversation, and he wants to go till he's 66, but I have no desire to go that long. to be honest with you, if that's the way it turns out and I can continue to ride, I'd like to do it as long as I'm having fun. But no, I don't plan to go another 10 years, to be honest with you. But you never know what Mother Nature has in plan for me.
John, I've always wondered, what is it that drives somebody, an athlete, at your age to continue to get on horses and really do what you love? What's the motivational factor now?
It's got to be some intestinal fortitude of desire and something you love to do. As I'm out there and it's cold, and sometimes I question myself, what am I doing? But then, of course, shortly after that, the reason is answered, and I find myself doing it again, and whether it be rain, snow, or just even hot conditions, you just continue to go out there, and it's something you love. You've got to have it within your gut, because I think of so many riders I've seen come and gone. I've seen some good talent come and go, but certain things would take them out. Injuries, or they lose the desire. They just don't have the love that would motivate them to get out there and do it, or whatever other reason, but I've seen a lot of them come and go, and it's just got to be something that I continue to have faith that I can win the races, provide for my family, and enjoy the ride. And ever since I was a little child, I was asked that yesterday. I sat in a committee yesterday on Kentucky's equine condition just around the entire state, and it's really interesting, another world of equine people involved besides racing. And the question was asked to me, why we do what we do, and it's got to be that love that we have for the horse.
What about the 4,000 milestone? Was that important to you, or was it just another day at the office?
Well, it had become another day at the office. It was important. It has high and lows. I was anxious to get there shortly this summer, but then when I got knocked out of the action from the injury, September 15th, the opening night at Churchill, that put me 2 months behind. So I just tried to realize that it's going to come in its timing, and I'll just embrace it when it does. But it was important. I wanted to get to 4,000. I want to get past it. But I'm taking a little time down. I'm riding very sparingly right now. And actually, I've enjoyed hitting the 4,000 and just sitting on it and basking for a while, all the things that came into play.
Do you go back and watch that race, John? Have you done that?
I have. I went back. I haven't gone back and really just reviewed it over and over. I was very blessed to have a horse that just took it to him. She wasn't going to get beat that night. She just, what a Cadillac ride that was. And to do it on Karen Wittick's horse with her as the trainer, that just something was very special. I did go back to watch it, and I'll go back again to watch it. And she just came to the races that day with her A game. She broke, went to the lead, and wouldn't let anyone call her. She relaxed when I called on her to relax, and she responded. She was just a push-button Cadillac. So really, I was just the passenger, and I would have to say that it was 99.9% of the horse. I was just fortunate to be a passenger on something that was that fun to ride at my 4,000th. It kind of gave me a new awakeness that the reason we do what we do, because sometimes there's rides you go out there and you're like, oh my gosh, you get in traffic trouble, and either horses lugging in, or you have some rider that races to the front and drops in front of you, and you're like, that's the horse I did not want to get behind because it was stopped, and you're stuck, and all these things come into play. And I'd like to really just speak on that. When things come into play, you think we make these second decisions. Actually, by the time you say 1,000, that second, and you can, you guys know as well, you can break a second down on the racetrack in the fifths and actually into the hundredths. Well, we make these decisions that are by far quicker than in the fifths. They're in the hundredths. And when you make that decision to zag when you should have zigged, I mean, you're committed to it. Unless something can immediately happen that you can correct whatever has happened, that you have to live with that decision. It can cost you, and it can put you into the winner's circle. But fortunately, back to the horse I was riding, she was one of those horses. I could have gotten in trouble. Several things may have happened. And there are those horses that can overcome obstacles and interference and bad decisions. I'm talking I've seen it 3 to 4 times, and certain riders can just rally up and still win by lengths. And that's impressive. And anytime you ride something like that, it's like being on a wise dance. It's one of those type of mounts that stick with you in your career.
Well, because she was such an easy winner, I'm sure that there was a point in the stretch, knowing what was on the line, with it being a milestone win for you, there was probably a time when you, I would assume, got a chance to maybe think about that and have that go through your mind. Is that correct? Did something like that go through your mind as you're coming down the stretch?
Yes, it was. I was in my own element when I turned for home. I just felt like, and I felt like that way before and proved wrong, where I was like, there's no one getting by me. Not only were they not getting by me, but she just opened up. And I just could hands down ride her. The only thing I did do was show a little action. I said, well, I need to do something besides ride her and earn this money, do a bit of my job. And that night in particular, everybody was actually wanting to stay just right off top of the rail for whatever reason, right on top. The two path was just a little bit boggy. So if anything, I just pulled my stick through and showed her the stick a little bit and showed a little bit of effort on my side besides just sitting there for a Cadillac ride and kept her in the third path lane. And she went ahead and just rallied and opened up my 10 lengths. It does run through your mind.
Talk about your background and your horsemanship. But when we tried to get a hold of you earlier this morning, I was telling people when you rode for me at Lone Star Park the first two seasons down there, you would come back and tell me about the horse and tell me what you thought, ways to improve him or suggestions. And you're such a great horseman. Talk about your background and how you got that knowledge.
Well, I appreciate that. That's worked very well for me in the past and throughout my career, and also has come against me. There's some people that don't want to hear certain anecdotes about their horses or something that you think can improve their performance. But ever since I was a child and working with young horses, even just last year or two, on these times off, I've been going out to these farms. And as I mentioned yesterday on this show today, that I was working with some other horsemen and other equine entities about the betterment of Kentucky. But I love to see especially young horses developing. I love watching the brood mares come in form, and there's just certain aspects about the horse that I thought were just fascinating. And I, when I was young, I always had that interest. I always felt like the mystery of the equine species is just that, a mystery. And if they could ever talk to us, how amazing that would be. And my thought was, wow, how could anybody else not want to have something to do along the lines and somewhat of the equine heritage and the equine species? I just always thought they were fascinating. So it just really consumed me. And not only the development of young horses, but older horses and how they set and where they got where they were. But it's just something that I always felt like I wanted to better my education and try to get these big beast, noble beast burden figured out. So it's just been something ingrained in me since I was very young.
Jockey John Court joining us on the Horse Racing Radio Network. John, when you think back on your career that spanned now, more than 30 years, you think back on that riding career, what are some of the moments that are going to stand out to you and that you're never going to forget?
Well, it's kind of amazing. There are some people who just love and bask in this game about their highlights, but it's the things that have transpired that I found fascinating. Some of them are by far more outside of the box. And when I go through my career, I just look at how some of the finer horses that never became popular are just cemented in my mind. And they've imprinted just such memories that are special to me. And then there's some memories that are very personal. I'm married to my wife, to a trainer that I've had a lot of respect for. He's always been a lot of fun to work with. But the thing about him is when you're around him, you're going to work. So it's kind of interesting. I would go to his barn. I never believed that I would be meeting the wife of my future, meeting him. So those certain memories and certain trainers that really bonded to me, and regardless of my popularity or how big or small their stable was, a mom and pops, that they really embraced me and appreciate what I could bring to their stable. And we would win stakes races with horses that they had claimed. So things like that come along. I remember that I felt like I was washed up and my career came to an end, and somebody stepped in my life and invited me to called me up one day, hey, we want you to go to Japan, ride the richest race in Japan. And I went over there at 50+1 and win it, beat the favorite, the leading jockey. At a photo finish, it was one of the highlights of my career, the Japan Cup Dirt. And then they invited me to come ride Forest Golf with them out in California, Lavella Leatherman. So I was thinking at that particular time of pursuing something of a crossroads I felt like I was approaching for my career, that I had time to gracefully bail out or find something to do, because I just didn't feel like my career was progressing forward. So memories like that. I went over to California. We agreed to do it for 2, maybe 3 years. We stayed over 5 years, had some of the best 5 years of my career. Got to ride some grade ones for the late Bobby Frankel. He was great towards me, and a lot of fine horsemen I've often read and watched. And I was able to have an enormous amount of success, on my opinion, in California, and then coming back and riding the Kentucky Derby for my father-in-law. That was a lot of fun. I actually got to work with the horse on a regular basis and train with him. So I enjoy being the gallop boy and the jockey for an upcoming Derby potential horse. I won the Arkansas Derby with that particular horse, Arch. Now he stands over at Spendthrift, and I think he's going to be probably, without a doubt, one of the predominant juvenile sires right now on the list. So things like that throughout my career, whether it be the horses, the personal, and just the lifestyle I've had to enjoy, they all cluster in my mind, and I can go on and elaborate quite a bit on it. But as I said earlier, it's probably more interesting, in my opinion, to my memory than it was on just basically a basic conversation.
Well, John, it's been an amazing career. 4,000 victories. Congratulations on that accomplishment. I know the career is still ongoing, so we want to wish you all the best moving forward. Safe trip every time you get a leg up, my friend, and we'll look forward to catching up with you again soon. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on your show.